What is up, y'all? Welcome into Uncovering Success. My name is Brady Slaybaugh. I hope you all had a wonderful holiday season with family and friends. I took last week off to spend some quality and well-needed time with family and friends, and I'm ready to hit the new year running now. You know, looking back on 2020, man, what an awesome year that was. It was definitely different, but for me, it was the year that I've grown the most and learned the most about myself. Put myself out there in all sorts of ways, and I'm thankful for what I learned along the way and who I got to do it with. The lineup of guests that are upcoming this year is one that I'm really looking forward to and excited to get going. Today on the episode, I have Jeff Kahn. Normally here, I would tell you where he works at, but he's actually been a part of so many different things. You know, they built one of the best shows in the country at the Amish Country Theater. And they've built this awesome hotel that's connected to it. Beautiful hotel called the Encore with a sweet event center. And he also takes us through the huge real estate portfolio that he's been able to build for himself and given us some tips along the way. And there's a really cool story behind how he got started that I think is really going to resonate with people my age. So without further ado, let's get into it.
You don't set out to build a wall. You don't say, I'm going to build the biggest, baddest, greatest wall that's ever been built. You don't start there. You say, I'm going to lay this brick as perfectly as a brick can be laid. There will not be one brick on the face of the earth that's going to be laid better than this brick that I'm going to lay in this next 10 minutes. Yeah. And you do that every single day.
And soon you have a wall.
And soon you have a wall.
All right, y'all, welcome into Uncovering Success. Today, I have a really interesting, cool story that I'm excited to get into and dive a little more into. So I'm sitting in the beautiful hotel right now that they have, and I'll let him introduce it a little bit. That they've got the great Amish Theater next door and the event center. All this stuff is top-notch. But first of all, welcome in, Jeff. Jeff Kahn, I'm looking forward to speaking with you today.
Absolutely. Excited about it.
Sweet. So let's kind of go back to when you were my age. Where did you go to college? Where did you grow up?
Yeah.
Kind of a little preamble.
Yeah, quick backstory on me. I grew up in Berlin, Ohio, so that's Amish country, as you know. We're both native to that area. Went to school at Highland, and then after school went to Mount Vernon University, did 2 years there, dropped out of college, so that's one of my claim to fames. But no, I dropped out of college to work at a church. I was interning at a church during the summer doing music, and I really enjoyed that, so ended up staying there after my second year of school, and I did end up finishing school online, so I got my bachelor's degree while working at the church. Nice. Doing music. So ended up doing church after that, and then that's when I jumped into business.
That's sweet. And so kind of after working at the church, you worked at New Point, right?
Right.
In Millersburg.
Yep.
What was that experience like for you?
Yeah. Well, I've always been into music, so I enjoyed playing guitar. I learned guitar through high school and always was somewhat musical. And then I also enjoyed people. I'm a people person. I like to be social. So was active in my church growing up, volunteered on the band. And at the point where after my second year of college, our church went multi-site. So they started launching campuses throughout different towns. And as a part of that, they needed worship leaders. So I was a volunteer at the time doing worship leading, and they asked, hey, would you consider being a full-time worship leader? So since I was able to finish school online, my parents wanted me to do that, of course. So that's why I was able to do it. And I loved it because it gave me a chance to be creative. It taught me a lot about leadership, just because in the church world, nobody's on your team is paid. Mm-hmm. So you can't just say, hey, look, if you don't come to work, you're not getting paid. No, you have to instill vision in people and motivate folks using vision because they're all volunteers. So that taught me a lot about teamwork and team building, and I use a lot of that now today in business too.
That's so true. That's awesome because the best coaches I've been around are the ones that get the vision across.
Right.
Across to their teammate or their team, no matter what it is. But a big part of that is getting your coaches on board too.
Right.
Getting your staff and
yeah.
and everyone to buy in to the idea that you have.
Right.
So then taking that, you said you've put that into business a lot now, and you kind of use that to motivate your teams. What was the next step for you after New Point?
Yeah, so while I was working at New Point, my father-in-law was working at a local hotel here in town. And if you don't know about Amish country, we're the number one tourist destination in the state. So like 4 million visitors a year come
over
through
Cedar
here.
Point.
I know, yeah. Right? So as growing up, you always hated it because the tourists were always jamming up the roads and the town was packed and you couldn't go to your favorite restaurants because it was an hour wait. So we always knew that there was a ton of people coming here to the area and spending money, but never dawned on me like, hey, maybe there's an opportunity there. Until my father-in-law kept saying, hey, you know, I work in a hotel. Our guests just hate that there's nothing to do after dinner. The sidewalks roll up at 6 o'clock. There was no nightlife, no, literally nothing to do. No movie theaters, malls, shops, everything closed
there's
at six.
There's absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
It's a dry county, so it's not like
right.
people go hang out at a bar
no
or anything on the weekend.
Right.
Yeah.
So we got to thinking like, all right, well here, you know, we're good at music. We're good at production. You know, I've got a friend who actually was a, helped co-found the theater, who was just basically a stand-up comedian. The guy is hilarious, yeah. A great writer. So we got together. I remember sitting in a Wendy's back in 2012 saying, hey, you know what? What if we just put together like a family-friendly comedy variety show? I love going to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and the Comedy Barn down there was a great show we always loved to go to. So like, why couldn't that work here in Berlin? So that's kind of how the idea was born. We had no idea how to do it. None of us had ever run a business. None of us had ever acted in a show before. But we're like, you know what? There's an opportunity. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, that's interesting that you say that, because for us, my parents own a couple businesses and our family businesses. So for us, the big thing was the Crocs, that we started selling
yeah.
Crocs, and that kind of caught on around here.
Yeah.
But the reason we started that is because we went on a family vacation to Vermont.
Yeah.
I forget, I was like in elementary school, and we noticed that everyone there was wearing Crocs. Like that town, every single person we saw had Crocs on.
Right.
So we just brought it back here and started selling them here, and it's been a huge success.
Yeah.
For us.
I'm wearing Crocs right now.
That's awesome. There's so many different styles out there. You can wear them for anything.
Yeah.
So then, so you've got this idea for the theater now. What was the next step that you had to make for it?
All right. So we knew if we were going to do a theater, you had to have a space. So, you know, real estate in East Holmes is really hard to find. It's really hard to find any real estate, let alone something big enough that you've got enough parking, enough room for, you know, a bunch of seats.
Yeah.
So kind of a long story short, we went everywhere and asked anybody if they knew of anything for sale, for rent, and we could not find a thing. So we were kind of disappointed, thinking, you know, hey, it was a great idea, but you can't have a show without a theater. And actually, the very last stop of our kind of tour to go find space was with Anthony Kaufman from Kaufman.
Friend of the program.
Yeah, he's been on here. Yeah,
yep.
So shout out to Anthony. But sat in his office, and he kind of said the same thing. He's like, man, I don't know. It's hard to find stuff. But then I remember the look on his face. Like, he kind of, like, in the back of his head remembered that, you know what? In Walnut Creek, Benny Mass had a flea market that shut down. And one of the something called a hardwood furniture guild. They had a big expo there, but it was only 1 week a year, and it just sat empty the rest of the year, but they leased it for the whole year. He's like, I'm pretty sure those guys might be interested in subletting to somebody else while they're not in there. So we got all excited. We're like, now, wait a minute. We're talking the flea market. It's big enough. It's got plenty of parking. Like, hey, this could be a big thing. And yeah, long story short, we got in touch with those guys, and it took a while, but finally we're able to sign a lease, and we had a space.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then moving forward now, you've kind of have the production background,
yeah.
all that to you. What was the actual show like at the start?
So we just said, you know what, we're going to do clean family comedy. So we weren't going to have something that people had to be nervous about bringing their friends to. It's just something that made you feel good and made you laugh. So our buddy, John Bunn, was a big part of it. He's actually our theater manager today. He's full-time with us. He's the star of the show. His character's name is Leonard. And we wrote that first show, and we kind of pulled from, like, inspiration like Hee Haw. You know, we're pretty young for that show, but, you know, that rings true with a lot of our clientele. It was a great show on TV, comedy show. The Comedy Barn and Pigeon Forge, just all these places that you can pull inspiration from. We said, what if we just brought it into 1 2-hour show? And that's what we did. We had a Leonard, who's like a country bumpkin stand-up comedian type. We had two Amish characters called the Jonas Brothers, which is always a big hit. And we just put on a 2-hour show with music and comedy, and it was absolutely vacant the first year.
Like, really?
Nobody came.
Wow.
It was...
it's such a success now. You see it how it is now.
Right. But people don't realize that we're 8 years in. Or no, we just finished season number 9. But our very first year, I remember the first week we opened, we went out to the sidewalks in town with tickets. Because we were like, we can't do a show for like 4 people. We got to fill seats. I don't care if we have to give them away. So we tried. We had ticket vouchers and we're walking down the streets trying to give free tickets away to the show that night, and no one would even take them. Wow. We could not give tickets away. So I remember
that's crazy because they probably didn't have plans that night.
Yeah, no, I don't know. But they're like, wait, why are you trying to give me a free ticket? That show's got to be awful, right? Mm-hmm. But it was a good show, and I remember doing shows for 12 people at a time. We had 300 seats in the theater, and 12 people would be in there. It wouldn't even fill up a single row. But here's what we had going for us is the content we were putting on was really, really good. So at least the 12 people who came really liked it. So mm-hmm. not a lot of people were there, but the people who did come liked it. And word of mouth started to spread. So like our first year, 2012, you know, we had probably 8 motor coaches. And I don't remember the number of people, but it wasn't a lot. The next year, we tripled our attendance. So still not a huge number, but it was 3 times as many as the first. And then we probably did maybe 40 motor coaches. And word of mouth grew and grew and grew. We started getting some recognition. We got the Small Business of the Year Award from the local chamber. We also got a big one that we got was from the American Bus Association, rated us a top 100 event in North America.
Wow.
So as soon as That's we got awesome. That, we were on the radar where all the motor coach groups and, you know, probably towards the end of our time in the old theater, we were doing 200-300 buses a year then. And our shows were full. We were running out of space. We were adding more show times just because what we were doing, people really enjoyed because it was clean. It was fun and creative. And the word of mouth really spread and turned it into a good thing.
That's really interesting because I think it's a great story for people my age to hear and listen to, because us right now, we want that instant satisfaction, gratification.
Right.
Like,
yes.
And it's hard when you don't see that. And I feel like social media is a big part of that because we get to see so much.
Yeah.
And it all seems like so much good. There's not a lot of bad out there. There's not a lot of seeing the behind the scenes.
Right.
So to hear a story like that is pretty interesting, that for the first couple of years, it was a grind.
Oh, awful grind, because I was working at the church at the same time. It wasn't a full-time job. So I remember working at the church Monday through Thursday, and then we would do shows Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and then I would work at the church Sunday morning doing, you know, church.
Yeah.
So for that first year, we worked every single day for the entire year. We were so burnt out, but it was an adrenaline rush because it was your thing. It was your startup, and you kind of need a little bit of blissful ignorance, I guess, mm-hmm. to start something like that. Knowing what I know now, would I go and do it again? Well, I don't know. It's like, that was a lot of work. And if someone said, hey, should I do it? I would love to be able to say, yeah, man, go for it. But I'm like, man, it was a grind. I'm glad we did, but mm-hmm. it was a lot of work.
That's awesome. Well, and so now we're sitting in this awesome hotel, this sweet theater next door, event center connected to it. I've been to weddings over there as well. Beautiful place. What kind of is that middle part here? You start to pick up some ground, start to get some momentum going. What is it that got you to this point?
So we hit a point in 2017 where the business was successful. It was making a good amount of money. We started to listen to what our customers were saying. That's kind of a thread through our story, is I always tell people we're not the smartest guys in the room, but we're pretty good at listening to our customers and realizing what they want. Mm-hmm. And we got to the point where not only were we doing shows, but we realized that the buses who were coming to the area also wanted to eat lunch. So we started, we turned one of the rooms at our flea market we were in into a banquet room and started serving Amish cooked lunches before the show.
Nice.
So now that kind of birthed the event center side of our business. I always remember one time we were doing a lunch in there for a bus group, and one of the grandmas, we have an older clientele, so one of the grannies came up and said, hey, my granddaughter's getting married in the summer, and she wants a barn wedding, and this is such a cool venue. Would you ever consider letting her have her wedding here? We're like, I don't know. Does somebody want to get married here? And they did, so we threw it out there, and we did the wedding. They loved it. So then we started advertising weddings, and we ended up doing maybe 10 weddings, 12 weddings in that building. And if you saw this building, I don't know why people wanted to get married there, but they loved it.
Yeah.
So we realized at that point in 2017 is we really had something. We not only had the show, we had the opportunity for this banquet concept where we could do corporate entertainment for Christmas parties, weddings, bus group meals. And then on the other side of that too, you keep mentioning we're sitting in our hotel. None of us ever dreamed of being a hotelier. We didn't even really know how to run a hotel. We didn't know anything about hotels. But we did know that everybody who is coming to our 7 o'clock show, and we're talking, you know, thousands and thousands of people, when they leave, it's 9:30. They're not all driving home. Most of them were driving to a hotel to stay. So we're like, why not also, if we have the opportunity to sell theater tickets, sell a hotel package with it? So we always kind of dreamt like, hey, if we ever had the chance to add a hotel, that would go well. But it was always kind of like a pipe dream.
Yeah, that's interesting. And then now, did you always know that the event center side would do well?
Yeah, because the event center side was easy, because when a bus called for the 2 o'clock show, they're like, well, where can we eat lunch? Well, actually, we serve an Amish meal right here at the theater. You can park your bus, your driver can take a break, and they can stay here the entire time. And it was such an easy sell. So we knew that the theater was kind of the engine. And then all of these subsidiary business concepts, like the event center, like the hotel, would be successful because of that marketing machine in the theater that we could package it with.
That's cool, man. That's sweet. So what do you feel like has been like one of the biggest things that you would give advice to someone my age, that either was at the point where you were my age, just coming out of school, that's ready to grind, wants to get after it? What would be like your biggest piece of advice?
Probably perseverance. Just because, like I said, that first year, it was, a lot of people would say it was a failure. Like, not a lot of people came. You know, we couldn't give away free tickets, but we stuck with it. Like, we could have, it was a lease, it was a 1 year lease, so we could have just stopped and said, you know what, that was a great idea, but, you know, it's not going to work. But we kept stuck with it, and we just, you know, kept making improvements and kept adding, you know, content and creativity, and it and eventually worked out to where we're at now. So keep grinding, I guess, is the advice, is don't give up if it's not easy. Because I think you're right. I think a lot of people want that instant success, that overnight dream of the American dream, whatever that is. But it took us, gosh, it took us at least 6 years before we really started to do something big with it.
And so I know your family is a little bit like the way I grew up, where it's big business minds and always kind of maybe working on a couple things, not just one thing. Is there some other stuff that's been really successful for you?
Well, we're into cabins. Cabins is a big part of what we do. You want to hear that?
Yeah, let's do it. That, I think it's awesome.
So, yeah, cabins is great. And how it started is while we were actually building where we're sitting now, and we're the Encore Hotel and the Amish Country Theater property, is well, I should actually back up to tell you how I get started in cabins. Is during our theater years, kind of like you said, a lot going on, like business mind and family, we got into e-commerce, doing Amazon selling. So basically selling products on Amazon. And that was great. Did that for a while. Had a semi amount of success with it. But as we started to build this property, it took up so much of our time. We knew that I needed to sell that part of my business. So I did. Put it up for sale, and someone bought it. And so I ended up selling my Amazon business. So now here I had this chunk of cash from this online business.
So what does someone, like when you say someone bought your Amazon business, what does that all include? Because to me, it's buying stuff from a warehouse in China, right? Sending it straight to Amazon and selling it on Amazon.
Yeah.
It's finding a cool product.
Right.
Like, what is there necessarily to sell there?
So I was selling cell phone mounts for your car. It was just a plastic trinket you got, you shoved it in your air vent or you stuck it to your windshield. Like you said, just imported it from China using Alibaba, shipped it straight to Amazon. And but what they were buying was the brand. So came up with like a brand name. It was a white label product, so I put my own logo on it and then started to build a customer base from that. So the listings on Amazon's had, you know, a couple hundred reviews, which is a big deal in the Amazon space. It started to rank up on the search results. So there was some value for that buyer that they could basically just take over day one and start generating cash flow. Mm-hmm. So they essentially bought the brand that I created.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
It's kind of like buying a house in the same sense. Let's say you buy a $200,000 house. If there's already renters in there and it's in a good area, all the things kind of line up. It's essentially the same thing, right?
Right. Cool. Yep. So sold the Amazon business. And so I've got this chunk of money. And I remember talking to my wife about it because we were building this property and every dime that we made in the theater was going towards the project. So we were, you know, living pretty frugally to help fund that. But now we had this money. We're like, wow, you know, maybe we should just for the next, you know, couple of years, just use this money, just maybe loosen up a little bit, go out to eat when we want, kind of loosen our budget up a little bit. But ended up a realtor friend of mine knew that I was semi-interested in cabins. Again, Gatlinburg comes up. I love that area, and I love the cabin scene down there. And he mentions, like, hey, you know, there's a property right by your house. It's only 2 miles away, and that's coming up for sale. The guy is kind of quietly, it was a pocket listing, wanted to know if there was any interest in the market. So he asked me if I had any interest. And I'm like, oh, that sounds kind of cool. I've got, where I was living, we were currently doing a bed and breakfast out of our house. So like an air, back in the day, it was called a bed and breakfast. This was before like Airbnb was a thing. But so more for today's terms, we were doing an Airbnb out of our house. We had like a mother-in-law suite. And that was great. It was basically like free money. We were already paying, you know, the utilities and our mortgage on our house. But yet here we were making a couple $1,000 a month renting out this room. So I'm like, well, I've gotten kind of good at that. Like, I'm good at Airbnb now. I'm good at taking photography and listings. So let's give this a try, maybe with something a little bigger. So what we did with that cash from that Amazon sale is we used it as a down payment to purchase that. It was a 4-unit little lodge. And it was a 5-unit lodge. And that's what we started with. And basically went in and redid all the photography, put it on Airbnb. It wasn't being run really well. And all of a sudden, this thing started to make money. And was the beginning. So we added on to that, and it started to do really well. We ended up purchasing another property, which had 3 cabins on it. That started to do really well. And then it just kind of grew and grew and grew and grew. And then we acquired more and more and more. And in the next 3 years, ended up getting we're at 53 cabin units now.
In 3 years?
In 3 years, yeah.
Dang, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yep.
And I mean, that's another story too of just kind of working hard, kind of stumbling into something, figuring out what you're good at. And one thing I talk about a lot is I think it's important to know yourself and know what you're good at and what you're not good at.
Right.
And so in that sense, you were doing what you were good at.
Right.
And stumbled into a pretty successful business, it sounds like.
Well, and what's a good lesson from that too is, you know, 3 years ago, we had the chance just to use that money towards our budget. And, you know, probably
bought a new car. Like that.
Sure. Right. Gone on a vacation. And after a year, it would have been gone and that would have been it. But now, you know, fast forward 3 years later, you know, that same sum of money we're getting every single month now, just because we decided to invest it and grow it into a cash flowing asset. That's awesome. Just kind of cool. You know, it's like, it could have been gone forever, but now here it is, you know, 12 times a month, just coming every month. Mm-hmm. So that's cool.
Yeah. And I mean, I know for me, as I get older, that's something that I think about a lot is, I mean, there's a big push right now to do what you want, do what you're passionate about, and just kind of live life. And I think that's great to a sense, but you also have to be investing in the future.
Right.
So that when you get to your 30s, 40s, 50s, you're not still living paycheck to paycheck.
Right.
Yep. So yeah, that's sweet. I love that. And I love the grind. That's awesome. Yeah. And for me, I've always been someone that's big into like the real estate world.
Yeah.
Was there any kind of mess ups or like what was the start of that like?
Yeah.
Because for me, I mean, I'm still trying to find my first deal. And whenever it comes along, I'm sure I'll learn a lot from it. What were kind of those first couple deals like for you?
So the best thing for me was when I bought that 5-unit lodge was I did everything myself. So it didn't make enough money to hire a manager or a team. So I was great at marketing. I knew how to advertise, take great photos, text copy. But something I had no experience was how to manage a cleaning staff. Mm. Like, what shampoos do you buy? What about cleaning products? What about laundry? Like, how many washers and dryers do you need? So I didn't know anything about that. So I remember when like a washer would break, like the cleaner would call and say, hey, I can't do the laundry today for check-in. Like, what do I do? And I remember like going to my mom's house. I was like, Mom, can I use your washer and dryer? Like, cause they live nearby. I'm like, can I just throw this stuff in there? And then I just, you know, over time I learned, I'm like, okay, so you need to have a great vendor to be able to come over and fix like a washer or dryer in an emergency, or learn to do it yourself. And then the other side too was customer service. You know, in real estate, you know, people always talk about long-term rentals. It seems like that's the most popular form of real estate is rentals because it's less work, they will say. People look at short-term rentals and think, oh man, it's just a ton of work. And it is. It is a lot because you're getting a new guest every, you know, two or 3 days. But what I learned, what was so crucial with that five-unit lodge was I learned how to manage the business with systems instead of just being a firefighter running, putting out fires every time there was something went wrong. Because when it came time to add four more units to that business, and as we've added up to now 53, you know, we haven't had to reinvent ourselves every single time we expand. And our systems haven't broken as we've added more. It's because when we started those systems, we said, okay, how could we run this business like it's 100 units instead of only four? Like, what organizational structure would we need? So that was a nice thing about running that business myself originally, was I knew what it took just because I was the one doing it. I think had we hired like a property management company to come in and do it, we never really truly would have understood kind of the nitty gritty of the business. Yeah. So that was a benefit.
I love that. I love that story too, because for me, I mean, with my Airbnb business, I had started it. I mean, we got out of our lease during COVID because, I mean, it just wasn't worth it for us, me and my partner, every day to drive 2 hours just to clean it. Yeah. But I mean, in those 5-6 months where we were rolling, like we didn't, it wasn't making enough money in the start for us to hire cleaners.
Right.
So,
right.
So me and my buddy, we lived on campus at Ohio State and we would drive to the other side of downtown almost every day.
Yeah.
Go down there and clean it just so we could save that $30 cleaning fee.
Right.
And that's what we were doing. When the toilet paper would run out, people don't think about all the little stuff that goes on with all that. Because like for us, when we started that, we were calling our moms every day. Hey, what do you think of this pillow on the couch?
That's what it takes.
We need a painting for the wall. Like we would never think about all that kind of stuff. But now, because I've gone through that experience and been through that and I failed, we now know what it takes to run something like that.
Oh, yeah.
What it takes to do the accounting of a business, what it takes to make sure it's always stocked with toilet paper. And, and one of the things, biggest things we forgot to do was get a microwave. We would get messages all the time like, hey, how do we warm up our food? Maybe put it in the oven.
Set it outside for a little bit. Yeah. It's hot out.
But yeah, there's a lot of things that, like you were saying, because you learn how to build relationships and be nice to people, especially in the hospitality business.
Yep.
You learn what it takes to be there for a guest when their toilet's not running at 2 a.m. or whatever it is. You kind of have to be okay with change.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and now we're at the point where, you know, when you grow, so, you know, we have 53 cabin units in our short-term rental business. We created a management company. So, you know, our organization, we have a general manager, and then we have executives who are over certain departments. So we have an executive over the housekeeping department, executive of customer service, and an executive of maintenance. Mm-hmm. And what's nice is as we lead that team is I've done the maintenance myself. I've done the cleaning myself. I've done customer service. So you're able to speak intelligently and know, you know, what's required of your staff and really set the tone for your team as they go and do, you know, as you get that big, you can't do it yourself anymore. Mm-hmm. So instead of in there fixing toilets, you're setting up systems and helping your team know who's going to fix the toilet when it finally breaks.
Because, I mean, like you're saying, too, there's systems of whenever someone books, you set up a messaging app. So whenever someone books, it sends them a welcome message and lets them know when check-in, check-out is, all the rules like that. So stuff like that you can kind of systemize, which is really nice.
Right. It's all about systems. When you get to the size, it's every meeting, I promise you, probably 9 out of 10 meetings that I sit in is about a system. Mm-hmm. So what's our system for contacting guests? What's our system for letting maintenance know when something's broken and how do they track it? all that stuff. That's so important. Yeah.
Another question I've got for you is, so we've got this, we're sitting at this nice hotel right now.
Yep.
And I know a lot of people, like myself, the thing I'm wondering is, how do you fund something like this? Like, this might be a $5-6 million building, whatever it is. You probably didn't just have $5-6 million sitting around.
Right.
So what, one, can you kind of walk us through the process of trying to figure out what you need fund-wise for it? Because guys like me, my age, we might have a great idea, but we're not sure how to fund something like that, how to get it off the ground. What did that kind of look like for you starting out here?
Yeah, I'll tell you the story. And you're exactly right. If you have an idea, that's good. Like if you have a great deal, a great opportunity, that's the most important part. So if you've got that and you're able to convey that vision to people, that's basically all we did. You're right. I was working at a church, so I'm a worship leader. You know, they don't make a ton of money. You know, my family's not independently wealthy. So yeah, we had nowhere near the kind of money we needed to build, you know, a property like this. So what we did was we knew we had a great business. The theater had a great reputation now. It was winning awards. It had great momentum, huge momentum. And basically what we did is we just approached local business people and just said, hey, I know, obviously, you know about our business. Maybe they'd had their Christmas party there. And we say, hey, here's our vision. A big part of that vision, too, was we were able through, you know, friendships and connections and networking, that there was a piece of land where we're sitting right now, right off the main road. We're looking at it out the window. That a lady who owned a village, it was part of a village, so there's shops and restaurants around. In the back was a huge field, and like we talked about earlier, it's just impossible to get real estate in East Holmes, especially along the main.
We're right across from the local high school. There's there's a lot going on here.
Yeah, it's huge. So we, through talking to her, and she shared her vision for her property, we shared our vision for what we would build, she agreed that she would sell us that land. So right there, we had the idea with the theater. We had the land now. We hadn't bought it, but we had the option to purchase it. So when we went to local investors, we said, hey, look, we've got all this momentum. We've got an incredible location now, right off of the main, great visibility. So when we met with those guys, they're like, wow, you're right. I know that spot. Like, that's can't get any better than that. And yeah, I know your business. I've seen, you know, the four buses a day pulling in your driveway. And we put together a business plan. We put together models and said, hey, if we build the, we call it three parts of our business, the theater being the main engine. And then, like we talked about, that banquet and event center for the meals and the weddings for our theater guests. And then a hotel for them to stay overnight. We said, hey, look, we think this thing could really work out well. And we, what we did is our plan was we always wanted to, when I say we, I have two partners. I have a brother, Braden, younger brother who's a partner, and then also my dad. So the three of us is who I'm talking about when we say we. And we got a guy that was willing to listen. So we went in and basically gave him a presentation and said, hey, look, if you give us, you know, it was in the millions of dollars for a down payment for this property. here's what we'll do. We'll give you a great interest rate on your money, which at the time, you know, savings accounts weren't getting a lot of interest. So it was a great interest rate for the guy. And we said, look, you can be a part owner. And we, our plan hopefully would be to buy you out after a short amount of time. So that way you get your interest rate and you get a nice buyout at the end. So we essentially did what, you know, people are calling the Burr strategy. So we ended up, so
what
we,
the Burr strategy is what that's, it's a big, bigger pockets term,
right?
One of my favorite podcasts, but, what is the Burr strategy?
Well, essentially what it is you buy something at a value, you improve its value, and then you can refinance your money that you put into that property and get it back out and still own the asset.
So it's buy,
buy,
rent it out. Right.
Buy, rehab. We got to edit.
Rent,
sorry.
Refinance, repeat.
Yeah. So say it all in one so you can get it in there.
Buy, rehab, rent, refinance, repeat.
Exactly. So except for this, since it was a new construction, it wasn't really a rehab. It was just a construction project. But the essentially the bones of it were the same. We built it for a certain amount of money. It stabilized. We ran it for a year, and we had, when we opened, we had so much momentum being a brand new hotel, a beautiful 600 seat theater. We doubled our capacity. We had 81 rooms in our hotel. I mean, it's a beautiful property. Mm-hmm. So when we opened, I mean, it went gangbusters. We were full. The theater was killing it. We had a ton of people, a ton of weddings. So after a year of doing that, we went back to the bank and said, okay, now look, here's where we're at. Here's what, you know, our current loan is. And here's our net income for the year. So we had it reappraised and it, excuse me, we had it reappraised for, and it appraised for a lot higher than what we paid to build it. And at that point, the bank was willing to lend us 80% of what that number was. Mm-hmm. So we were able to get that money and pay back our investor. So
the difference between what the original loan value was, right? And
right.
then what the new appraised value, right?
Yeah. So basically, they lent us more money based on the new appraisal. Mm-hmm. And we took the money, the extra loan money they gave us, and bought off that investor, bought
gotcha.
Him out.
So, that's awesome.
So he was happy because he got a great investment, a great flip, a great buyout at the end. And then we were happy because here we sit now, we have 20% equity in the project now. Without any other investors. So essentially we raised private money, went through a huge construction project. It was a massive project, ran it as hard as we could. And again, that first year we did a lot of it ourselves because we knew we had to show great numbers to get that new appraisal. And it worked out, got a great appraisal, refinanced it, bought off the investor, and now here we are.
That's awesome. By the way, remind me if I'm wrong, I believe my mom's fashion show was yeah. the first event yeah. that happened. Like that happened the night that you got the permit.
That's a great story.
Place.
Oh man. Yeah. Yeah. It was because it took us a year to build the place and it never goes as quickly as you think it's going to go. Mm-hmm. And we remember, she came to us and said, hey, can we have our fashion show there when you guys open? We're like, oh, yeah, we'll be opening plenty of time. Oh, by May. Oh, we're planning on opening in February. Well, it was May, and we still weren't open, and we knew that this fashion show was coming up. And it's true. We got our certificate of occupancy literally, was it the day or the day before? It was
maybe the day before.
It might have been the day before.
Because I think my mom's fashion, Be Fearless, shout out Be Fearless, their fashion show was on a Monday night.
Yes.
And I think like Friday you were supposed to get the permit and something wasn't right.
Right, right. They had to fix
yeah,
something.
That was...
Yeah, I remember that happening because everyone was stressed out. And I don't think anyone told your mom. If I remember the story, I think your dad knew, but I don't know if she knew how close it was. But we did get it just in time. So thank the Lord ended up okay.
So kind of wrap up here. A few quick random questions for you. Is there a book that... you might have read over the years that you would recommend to someone my age, whether it's leadership, self-improvement, business, real estate, whatever it is there a book that you kind of can look back to and say, man, that changed my perspective?
Yeah, I would say the biggest book that has helped in our growth was The 10X by Grant Cardone.
I'm three-fourths of the way through it
right now. Yeah, great book. And that concept of, even though, like I talked about it with our cabin business, even though this is only a 5-unit lodge, mm-hmm. let's run it like it's a 50-unit lodge, 10X. That way, when we hit 50, we're already running at that pace mm-hmm. and we're already doing that. So that we use that a lot whenever we're talking about new properties or expansion or even new hires, the way we run our organization. It's like, well, do we need this position now? Probably not, but... if we're thinking about, 10X from now, if we have 10 times mm-hmm. this unit, we're going to need it. So as an example, that book was great for that.
That's all, because I know for me, that's kind of changed my perspective on, hey, I'd like to buy a house or a place to rent, a duplex, whatever, one or two of them in the next year or two. But now it's, hey, why can't I have 10 doors in the next year or two?
Right.
And kind of 10X that thing where even though I might not have 10 doors, 10 people renting in the next year or two, if I'm halfway there at five or six, that's still five times what I had originally thought I could do.
Right.
And so that whole mindset shift has been very important for me over the last year or so.
Awesome.
And then finally, what does success mean for you? When you look back, maybe when you're at the end of your life, what can you say, man, I was successful in this life?
Hmm. I would say there's a couple sides of it. One, I would want to be able to say that we gave our employees a good place to work, something where they found fulfillment, they were taken care of, they were able to take care of their families. So that would be a part of it. Also, something that we provided our customers with that made their life better, you know, especially this year as we've done, you know, it's been awful year for theaters in the pandemic, but you know, we've done some shows, and something that we say in our comedy shows is, look, 2020 has been a rough year for all of us, but here we are inside, you know, this room, and you know, for now we're going to forget about what's outside those doors, and we're here to laugh and forget about our troubles. And I feel like there's some gratification in that, just being able to give people something to feel good about. And we hear that a lot.
That's awesome.
From our customers. So I'd say that would make me feel successful. And then being able to have the freedom to basically, you know, live how you want to live. Not necessarily with money, more about time and the ability to, you know, go to that family event on a Monday at 10 a.m. or be there for your kids when they move to college and you can take a week to do that. I think to me, that's the definition of success personally, outside of like the financial, your kind of normal, what people would call success.
Mm-hmm. Man, that's cool. I love that. And I appreciate you sitting down with me today. I've loved getting to know you. Where can people find you at social media wise, whether it's you personally or as well as like the theater, the hotel and stuff?
Well, I mean, probably the best place to catch me is on Instagram. It's jcon333. And then all of our properties have Facebook pages. It's funny, in Amish country, all of our customers are still on Facebook. So that's where we spend most of our time.
Yeah.
But yeah, Amish Country Lodging is our cabin company. The Berlin Encore Hotel, Amish Country Theater, Encore Hall. Those are kind of our brands. So yeah,
that's awesome.
Those are all out there.
That's sweet. Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for sitting down with me today and helping me on my journey of uncovering success.
Yeah. Awesome, man. Thanks for having me.
So you just heard Jeff Kahn, a great leader and pioneer in his own right. Go follow him on social media. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, all that sort of stuff. I'm so excited for what 2021 has to bring. 2020 was awesome, but I can't wait for what's in store on my journey of uncovering success.